know 1 in 5 Americans live with a mental health problem? That means unless you live in a cave, you know someone personally dealing with these issues.
So join us and our special guests as we answer your questions, share real stories, and work to pull the curtain back on how stigma impacts our everyday lives and our communities.
We believe that making a real impact happens best with candid conversations, laughter, and tears.
We are your hosts, Kaylee Murphy
and Josh Moore, and this is Impact Stigma. Good evening, morning, afternoon.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's good. It's good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. So anything new going on in your life?
Well, the most recent development at my place is that my dog had puppies.
Oh, we just got a new puppy too.
Yeah?
I hate him.
You hate him?
Oh my God.
How come?
He is mean as a rattlesnake.
What makes him mean?
Nonstop biting.
Oh.
And then you pick him up, he sounds like a chihuahua. And he just screams and yelps and just goes crazy. We got him when he was 6 weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like 10 now, and he's just gotten meaner and meaner.
Wow.
I know. We've had to put the cone of shame on him.
Oh, no.
So now he runs around the house with a cone so he doesn't bite people in the ankle.
Wow.
And then he's potty trained. Does great with that. He got knocked out by our cat. Our cat knocked him out.
Well, I mean, if he's mean to the cat.
Yeah.
You can't blame it.
The cat's 5 times the size.
Oh.
So what about your puppies?
Gosh, there's 10 of them.
Goodness, what kind?
Weimaraners.
I don't know what that is.
They're a great dog. You should look them up.
They sound like they're whiners.
No, they're not. They're very smart. They're very pretty.
Now, what's their colors?
We have the blue ones. There's blue and silver Weimaraners. Ours are darker.
Have you named them?
No, they're brand new. They don't even have their eyes open yet.
Oh, they're that new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ours is named Mowgli. He's an Ozador.
Mm-hmm.
Australian Shepherd mixed with a Labrador.
Oh.
So he doesn't sit still.
Right.
At any moment. He's constantly running.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I hope that gets better for you.
We'll see. So we got a good guest today, right?
Yes, we do.
On season 5.
We do. We have Miss Peggy Barker with us today.
Well, good morning or evening, whatever it is.
Good morning, evening.
How
it's
are
evening
you?
Here, though.
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good, good. We're glad to have you here.
Yeah, we got a nice thing we like to do to, you know, kind of ease you in and welcome you to our listeners. We like to ask you a couple fun questions.
Okay.
So we got a few questions lined up. I guess I'll go first.
Okay.
What is your favorite place to visit?
The beach.
The beach?
Yeah,
the beach. You have a favorite beach?
Probably Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
The ocean. Any ocean's good.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Can't go wrong.
As long as it's got an ocean, I'm good.
Absolutely. My question is, what is your most prized possession?
Mama's prized possession are my grandchildren.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, if that's a possession.
I mean, hey, we don't have any rules.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, my grandkids and my children, but my grandkids.
I have a grandkid. I love them so much more than my own kids.
Wow. No shame in admitting that.
Yep.
No shame.
No. He's amazing.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Love my grandsons.
All right, so what is your favorite food to eat? Now, your last meal. If you could have a last meal, what would it be?
Chocolate ice cream.
That's it?
Yeah, chocolate ice cream.
Hey, that can be a meal.
I guess.
That's my favorite meal is chocolate ice cream.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you choose?
Oh, it'd be a steak, 72-ounce rare.
Oh, my gosh.
Loaded sweet potato.
Wow, going all out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No steak sauce, no nothing, just a really good steak.
Just give me some chocolate ice cream, I'm good.
Yeah.
What about you?
I don't know. I think I'd have to be an oddball, too, and choose appetizers.
Appetizers?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big fan of, like, chips and dip and sausage balls. And
Oh, yeah. I love some sausage
ham
balls.
Ham and cheese sliders. I'm all about that stuff. That's my favorite.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I like going to Chili's and getting that sampler tray.
Oh, that's good.
With egg rolls.
Yeah.
Cheese sticks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's good, too.
Okay, Peggy, what is one fun, random fact about you?
I like to crochet.
Oh.
Yeah, I crochet afghans, hats, all kinds of stuff. I've crocheted so many blankets for my grandson that my daughter has threatened me.
No more blankets.
No, and because he will not get rid of them. He has to keep everything my mom makes him. So I've went to rugs now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
That's awesome. So it takes a lot of patience, I'm sure.
Yeah, it keeps me busy, but my grandson just dearly loves them. So
that's
a fun fact. I have yarn all over my apartment.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, as always, we strive for candid, open, and sometimes even humorous conversations here on Impact Sigma. So please remember, this podcast is never intended to be a substitute for professional advice, formal diagnosis, or treatment for mental and behavioral health issues. If you need further assistance or have questions, please visit the Frontier Health website at frontierhealth.org for more information. If you, your child, or someone you know is having thoughts of suicide or experiencing a mental health crisis, you can now dial 988 and you will be able to speak with a crisis specialist right away or go to the nearest emergency room.
All right. Welcome back, guys. Peggy, will you share with our Impact Stigma listeners a little bit about your story with addiction? I understand these are difficult topics to revisit, but if you don't mind, could you share some of your journey with us?
Yeah, I started using drugs and alcohol around the age of 13, and I've struggled with it. I'm now 58, mm-hmm. and I've been clean and sober this time for about four and a half years, but I've struggled in and out of recovery. I've found really good recovery through Frontier Health and with the help of a lot of good tools I've learned, and with EMDR and case management, and it's just been a struggle. I mean, drugs and alcohol both are my addiction, so it's been a rough road, and it's hard. Recovery's hard, mm-hmm. but with the right help that you can get and just taking it one day at a time and through 12-step programs, it can be achieved. But like I said, I've been struggling with addiction all my life.
Congrats on 4 years. That's good.
Yeah, it's hard, but with, like I said, with help of case management and constant therapy once a month and just sticking with the program, it really works.
So what, I know you said drugs and alcohol. What were the drugs?
Crack, cocaine, meth, pills.
Okay.
Yeah, any type of drug I could get high off of, I would radiate toward it. So alcohol was one of my main ones because, of course, it's easier to get a hold of. You can just go to the store and buy the alcohol, and drugs are a little bit harder to get. But any drug that somebody would hand me, anything that would change my feelings or my emotions, I would use it. I've tried about any drug. Heroin's probably the only drug I've never tried, but I've used needle drugs, I've snorted, taken drugs, shot drugs, about any kind of drug you can imagine I've used. So,
well, I know you said that you started using around the age of 13.
Yes.
So could you share with us a little bit about what it was like for you growing up, or what happened that started that journey for you?
My mother struggled with depression, and my mother was a prescription drug addict. And I was actually introduced to NA when I was a young child, probably around 12 or 13. My mother had an NA group that would meet at the house, but I don't actually know why I started drinking and doing drugs. Mm-hmm. My mother struggled a lot with suicidal tendencies and depression, so I don't know if that is what kind of planted the seed of, I thought that suicide was normal, that everybody thought they should commit suicide. So, you know, I don't blame my mother for that, but, you know, and I grew up in that environment, but just once I picked that first drug up, smoking pot and drinking, it just changed my whole persona. So I don't know, mm-hmm. if I was born that way or if it was environment or what, but once I picked up the drug and alcohol, I liked it. I liked how it made me feel.
Yeah.
It made me feel different.
Right. And I'm sure when you see that as a kid growing up, it is what you become used to.
Right.
I think it's normal.
Yes. My mother attempted suicide many times when I was a child, and I just thought that everybody, up until just here recently in therapy, I came to the realization that everybody don't want to kill themselves. I thought everybody wanted to kill themselves. I thought that was a normal part of life, but apparently it's not.
Right.
So,
yeah. Well, do you feel like there was anything that was helpful to you during your teenage years at all to help with the addiction you were experiencing, or?
Unfortunately, no. When I was growing up, you know, I'm 58 now, so I did go into hospitalization when I was probably 16 or 17 was my first real suicide attempt with pills. And at that point, back in those years, I went to see a doctor, and they said that was normal teenage behavior. Because unfortunately, back then, the stigma of trying to get mental health help was even worse than it is now.
Right.
And the doctors just didn't look at a teenager and think that they had problems. They called it normal teenage behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So even when I tried to get help back then, the help just wasn't there.
Right.
It just wasn't there. So fortunately, I'm seeing it change now. So I hope it keeps changing for teenagers to be able to get the help they need. And it's not normal for a kid to want to kill themselves.
Absolutely. Right.
Hello, everyone. Like what you're hearing so far? Well, make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button right now. This podcast is made possible by listeners just like you, and we greatly appreciate your support. So let's get back to the show. All right, so what was the decision or the turning point that made you want to go get help and, you know, seek something different?
I've sought help in the past, but this time I ended up having a terrible breakdown and ended up in jail, and I tried to kill a guy, and I broke. My mind just absolutely broke. I was on alcohol and drugs terribly bad this time, on the meth and the crack and the alcohol, and tried to kill the guy I was living with and ended up in jail for 9 days and just hit my absolute rock bottom. Mm-hmm. And did some intensive outpatient. I did that at Creekside, but then Creekside sent me to Frontier Health because I was out of a job and didn't have any insurance. So they said, well, they've got safety net at Frontier Health.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they sent me to Frontier Health, and I've been with Frontier Health ever since. But I was just at my absolute bottom. I was near death's door when I got to Frontier Health. Wow. I was dying.
Right.
I didn't have a choice. It was either get in recovery or die. Yeah. So I decided, even though I was still suicidal, I couldn't die because I had those grandkids and those kids to live for.
Right.
So it was my kids and my grandkids that made me decide it was time. You know, they say do it for yourself, but right now and then, I'm still doing it for my kids and my grandkids, but if that's what keeps me going right now, then that's enough.
Absolutely, right. Yeah. And I mean, I think we call those protective factors, right? Like the things you want to live for.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that can be anything from kids, grandkids, spouse, pets.
Oh, yeah.
You know, lots of different things like that.
And for those that don't know, the Behavioral Health Safety Net, it's a Tennessee program that covers the cost of visits, in some case medications, for those, you know, without insurance in the state of Tennessee for Tennessee residents.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. The Safety Net program through Holston Council and Frontier Health has covered my visits, and it's covered my medicines each month. I get like 5 medicines that's covered, or like small copay, $3 to $5. So without that, I don't know what I would have done.
Right.
And it's been a lifesaver for over 4 years now. So
absolutely. It's a great program.
Yeah, it's a wonderful program.
Absolutely. Well, you know, speaking on services, I know you mentioned earlier case management, yes. EMDR. Can yes. you tell us more about those and how they've helped you?
Oh, my. In the past, I'd went to Frontier Health in Bristol, but I just wasn't ready, I don't think. But this time, I took advantage of the case management services, and I've got a wonderful little case manager, Nicole, and she has been with me ever since, and every month I go visit with her, and I can call her at any time, and she makes sure that I get my appointment set up. And I've been with Hope. She's been my therapist until she left for a new job. But I'll be with Hope.
We won't hold that against
her. Yeah, we won't hold that against her. She got a promotion. But it's just been wonderful at Holston Counseling. The services have been wonderful. I can call, and they can help me at any time, and I've got that support system there. And the EMDR has just been wonderful for people. Just check into it. It's a good therapy tool to use to help you deal with past trauma. And I just can't brag on it enough. The case management is awesome.
Kaylee, could you explain what EMDR is?
Yeah, so EMDR is a type of therapy that's usually used for trauma, you know, PTSD type symptoms. But it's eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing.
Yeah.
And basically it uses it's like a light therapy that kind of reprograms how your brain processes trauma.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a really great therapy. And I know that a lot of our offices have many trained staff in EMDR.
Yes. For those that are listening, that's what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's definitely something you need to ask your therapist about, and it's very helpful. It's very, very helpful for trauma.
I completely agree.
Oh, yeah.
So that kind of leads into the next question. Can you share some of your personal accomplishments with us since being in long-term recovery?
Oh, yeah. Basically, my biggest accomplishment is staying sober and staying away from drugs and alcohol, mm-hmm. and that's my biggest accomplishment.
Yes.
Is just staying sober. That's the biggest thing I can do right now, is just stay sober, because I've been battling this addiction all my life,
right.
and just staying sober right now. That's my biggest accomplishment.
That's a huge one.
Yeah, that's what I'm after right now, and keeping my mind straight and staying away from people that I don't need to be around, mm-hmm. and men is a target for me. I've got to stay away from people that I don't need to have in my life.
Right.
And that's my accomplishment at this point right now, is just staying clean, sober, and away from people that I don't need to be around.
Right.
Right. Yeah, and I think knowing your triggers is so important.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You've got to know your triggers, and you've got to change your playgrounds, and you can't be around the people that you used to be around. Mm-hmm. You've got to I moved completely from Bristol to Kingsport to get closer to my kids, number one, closer to therapy, and to be away from the people that I was around, to know that it was easier to go get my drugs and alcohol and move to a complete new city. I know it doesn't seem far to some people, but to me, it's like a world away.
Right.
So you have to change completely your life. I had to change completely everything.
Yeah, really limits that access, being able to be away from them.
It most definitely does. Yeah.
I love what you said, change your playgrounds.
Yeah.
I'm totally going to steal that saying.
Yeah,
you got to.
Yeah, you got to change your playgrounds and your playmates. So
I like that.
Yep.
Well, Peggy, what would you say to someone who might be listening right now who's thinking about getting clean and sober?
Oh, one day at a time, and reach out. And there's 12-step meetings in the area. You can go online and find either NA or AA meetings in the area. Reach out to Frontier Health and ask for help. If you don't have money, there's help out there. There's grants. There's like Safety Net that I got on that can help you. Just pray about it to your higher power. And it's a one day at a time thing. You don't have to plan for tomorrow or the next day. You just do it today, and just that feeling of hopelessness can go away, and just you're not alone. There's many of us out there that are in that same position, and you're not by yourself.
Right.
There's hope out there, and there's others out there that feel the exact same way you do.
Yeah, I think that's great advice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Don't focus on the whole staircase.
No, at a time. One step at a time, one day at a time, 1 minute at a time. Don't think of what's going to happen tomorrow. Just think about what's going to happen today and one day at a time. But just ask for help. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing, is there are people to help you.
Yes.
So going into that, for our listeners, what's some advice you could give them to support a loved one who's going through that?
The best thing you can do is love that person. Don't enable them by giving them money to buy alcohol and drugs, but still love them. Mm-hmm. And encourage them to try to get some help, but don't badger them to get help. Don't put them down. Don't be mean to them. Just love them. Mm-hmm. You've got to love somebody because they're hurting, and alcohol and drug addiction is a disease. Nobody chooses to be this way. I never chose to be an alcoholic and a drug addict. I never woke up one day and just said, oh, hey, I'm going to be an alcoholic and a drug addict and throw my life away. Never chose that. It is a disease. It's a disease we can put into remission, but we never chose that. And that's a stigma that needs to stop. And people need to quit saying, oh, you chose to be this way. No. And there's usually an underlying disease there of some type of mental problem or some trauma there. And just, you need to love that person and be patient. Don't enable them. Don't hand them money to go buy the drugs or alcohol. But just make sure they have food and just love them and encourage them to get help.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Peggy, I think your story is just really inspiring. And I appreciate you sharing all this with us. At what point in your life, you know, what or who do you feel really inspired you to stay on this path of staying sober and clean?
Well, it was my mother until she passed away in 2007. My mother was my biggest cheerleader. Mm-hmm. My mother always was there for me, no matter what. And luckily, I was sober at the time she passed away. But then once she passed away in 2007, I just went off the rails again. And this time, it's been my daughter.
Okay.
My daughter, Jessica, and my son, Brendan, too. But my daughter, Jessica, has been my biggest cheerleader.
Great.
She is always there for me. And she's the one that told me, Mama, you've got to stop. Mm-hmm. If you don't stop, we can't be in your life anymore. We love you and we're here for you, but you've got to put it down. Mm-hmm. So she is my biggest support system. She's the one I can turn to. She helps me. And as long as I stay clean and sober, she's there to help me with anything I need. I mean, she never stopped loving me when I was in my addiction, but she had to pull away.
Right.
And that's what my mom did when my mom was alive. So I have to throw it to Jess and my son also, but mostly Jess, my daughter.
Right. That's awesome. Yeah, yeah, I think sometimes we have to say, look, I love you, but I have to set a boundary here.
Yes, right. Yeah, she had to set the boundaries, but now she was always there for me.
Right.
But, you know, when I got in jail, you know, I had to call, but she said, Mom, I can't get you out. And I said, I know, honey, just find out when my court date is. Mm-hmm, but, right. Yeah, it broke her heart. She told me it broke her heart, but she is my biggest cheerleader.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's so awesome. Having supportive people in your life means everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's why you have to support an addict, and you can love them from afar sometimes, but if they call and they like, I'm ready, that's when you need to step up and say, okay, let's do this.
Right.
Don't ever turn them away when they say they're ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you could step into our shoes and ask one more question that we didn't ask, what would be the question you'd ask?
I just want to encourage people to just keep loving an addict. And don't judge addicts. Mm-hmm. Far too many addicts are judged. And even when they do get clean and sober, far too many people want to continually badger them, even when they are clean and sober.
Right.
They even when they are clean and sober, there are some people that still doubt them. And I know it takes time, mm-hmm. and it takes actions and not words, but I just want to encourage anybody that has an addict in their family, alcoholic or a drug addict, to just give them that chance. When they want to get clean and sober, give them that chance to show you that they are clean and sober. And when they come to you and they say they're ready, help them.
Right.
Help them. Don't turn them away. Don't enable them. But don't turn them away. Just right. love them.
Yeah.
Just because you never know. Because a lot of people never come out of it, and a lot of people die. And you don't want to have an addict die and have that regret that you didn't show them the love they needed.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that message is great. Less judgment, more love.
Yes.
I think if we all tried to live by that, the world would be so much better. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Peggy. We really appreciate you being here.
You're welcome.
Yeah. We know it's always difficult to share your story, but we really appreciate it. If you help one person out there, then it's worth it.
Yes, most definitely.
Absolutely. Well, for our Impact Stigma family, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Impact Stigma, and we thank you for continuing to tune in.
Yeah, don't forget to like, share, subscribe. It's a big help. It's free. Don't cost nothing. You can find us on iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, we can't wait to spend time with all of you again soon, and thank you for continuing to help us make an impact. Stigma can help make mental health problems worse and even stop a person from getting the help they need. Untreated mental illness places an enormous emotional and economical burden on our communities. Economic burden alone is in the billions and directly affects all of us. We all play a crucial role in creating a mentally healthy community, one that is inclusive, rejects discrimination, and supports recovery. For us at Impact Stigma, this is way more than a podcast. It is about igniting our communities, sharing our stories, and working together with listeners like you. We invite you to find out more about Impact Stigma on our website at impactstigma.com. One way you can make an impact right now is by sharing our podcast with your friends and family, because you never know when something we talk about might be the reason someone you love asks for help. Mental illness is not a personal failure. We can't do this without you, so if you feel inspired to get involved, first, subscribe to this podcast. Then go visit our website, impactstigma.com, and watch the video on how you can become an impact maker. Thank you for listening to Impact Stigma. We are so grateful you chose us. We want to thank our guest again for sharing your impactful story and doing your part to impact stigma. Join us next time as we enjoy some laughs and hear impactful stories. Until then, this work needs you to go make an impact.